Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I'm not even going to get into any of the plugs. Man, this has been a really, really crappy year of me just losing people that touched me. Not in a bad way, but touched me as a person, showed me kindness, people that I really, really cared about. Number one, being losing my dad was a big deal. Then my good friend of my dad's, Bob. Bob was the guy that I went to the movies with every single time. He was around my dad's age. And the great thing about Bob is that Bob did not give a damn. You know, when we were kids, and they started to come out with the multiplexes where there would be multiple movies playing in the same building. And you would pay for one ticket, but then you would plan it out right so you could catch, you know, you could run right into another movie before it started. So I did that with Bob as well, too. But the thing that I learned yesterday, because Bubba Clem, Bubba the Love Sponge, ended up texting me to let me know, because I've been trying to stay away from social media on the weekend, but he notified me that the one and only Fez Marie Watley, Fez from the Ron and Fez show, Fez from the Ron and Ron show, passed away. And the first person I texted immediately was Ron Bennington, just to make sure that everything that I was hearing was true. And I was absolutely heartbroken because, you know, a lot of you guys don't know this. Ron and Fez were the two guys that got me started in radio. They're the ones that put me on the path. I don't know if they would be too proud of the path that I'm on right now. I do have a lot of things coming around in the near future that I'm really, really excited about. My podcast has grown. So if I'm just being honest, I really do think Fez would be proud of what I've been doing and the person that I've become. I remember the first day that I went into the Crow, WKRO, in Daytona Beach. Ron and Fez were the morning show. I remember because I was the biggest Ron and Ron fan. Me and a bunch of my buddies that would ride to school every single morning, we would listen to the Ron and Ron show. I became addicted to it. And then the next thing I knew, they were gone. They were gone. Just disappeared. I really can't snap that well. They disappeared right into thin air. And then a couple of years later, after I graduated high school, and I was taking college credit at Daytona Beach Community College, I hear that Ron and Fez, and I'm like, it can't be. Is that the same Ron and Fez from Ron and Ron? And I heard that they were looking for interns. And can I be honest with you people? I had no intentions and getting into radio until, because I just wanted to meet two of my favorite radio people that I grew up listening to, and I got an internship. I had to get college credit, got all that good stuff from DBCC, and I went in there, and I was only planning on doing a semester, but I absolutely fell in love with it. I did. And both Ron and Fez had equal things to offer, to teach me, to help me understand the business, to be ahead of the game. And they did that for me. You know, Ron, I'm not saying anything about Ron. Ron was not a behind-the-scenes guy because he was the host. He was the bus driver. He just came in and was funny. But Fez was equally as funny, but Fez would also be the first man there and the last person to leave every single day. And I think that's where I got the work ethic from when it comes to radio, is that I got that from Fezzy. I remember, because I've told this before, I didn't lose my virginity until I was like 19 or 20. I can't exactly remember the exact date, but I was ass crazy. I loved women. I was just trying to hook up with as many as I could. And we lived being in Daytona Beach during the events weeks, we would stay pretty busy. And it was not too often that Ron and Fez would do a late night gig at a club or bar or something like that, especially when they had to be up the next morning. And I really, really screwed the pooch. I did not take care of my responsibilities. And Ron and Fez, they did their last public announcement before they were done for the night. Ron said his stuff, and then Fez, man, Fez, he knew how to get at you. Like, if Ron was not talking to you, or if Ron was not like making jokes about you, you knew Ron was mad at you. And that really, really sucked. But it also went both ways. Because if Fez was mad at you, oh boy, just be prepared. And the thing is that you can't argue with him, because the more and more you argued with Fez or tried to defend yourself, even if you were in the wrong, you would never hear the end of it. And that, from making that point, because Fez said on the microphone in front of all the people there during spring break, he said, "Tuttle, if you're serious about radio, make sure you're at the studio early tomorrow morning, because it is not going to be good for you." You know what? There's a couple of things I could have done. I could have been like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going in, because I know that Fez is going to make my life miserable that day. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying anything bad about Fez, because I'm not, because what Fez actually did for me actually helped me step up my game. Because it was. It really, really did. I fucked up. Fez held my feet to the fire, and it made me realize, look, by this time, I had already fallen in love with radio. I loved doing it. It just wasn't about me meeting two of my favorite radio personalities. No, it was about, I want to take this to the next level. This is the trade. This is what I want to do. Even though at the time I was absolutely horrible at it, but Fez made me open up my eyes, and it stepped up my work ethic. Because the one thing I will say about Fez Watley, Fez was one of the hardest working guys in the business. The guy knew how to work. The guy knew, you didn't even have to tell him where a topic or a bit was going, because guess what? Fez knew exactly where it was going. And I'm just being honest. Fez meant a lot to me, people. You know, it's funny, because I saw yesterday, looking at Twitch, I've explained this to a lot of people, because the insurance companies were really screwing my mom around on getting my dad's life insurance policy. And she finally ended up getting that done. And I was like, you know what, though? I would give up all that money for 10 more years. Hell, even 5 more years. If I'm being dead honest, I would do it for 1 more year. But to see Fez trending, rip Fez, F-E-Z, it just made me feel good, because it showed how many people that Fez entertained and touched. You know, I've talked to Charlie Alamo. I'm going to have him on tomorrow's show of how much Fez meant to so many people, even though he was going through his hard times. Even though Fez was dealing with his demons, Fez was dealing with stuff, he still gave 100% every single day. Even though a lot of people would like to make fun of him and say that, oh, he probably wasn't talking as much towards the end. You don't know what he was going through, but guess what? He still showed up and he did the best that he can every single day. And that's one of the things that Fez bestowed upon me more than any other person that I've ever met in radio. One of my favorite other memories of Fez back in 1999, both Ron and Fez were both Star Wars fans, and this was when the Phantom Menace came out. And I was still, like, new to the radio, and they were like, hey, you need to find a radio station or movie theater that will give us tickets in advance. Because remember, back in the day, whenever you would want to see a movie in advance, you'd have to wait until midnight. Now a lot of all the other theaters nowadays, they show the first, like, day before, like, on a Thursday at, like, 6:30, 7 o'clock. But back then, we had to do midnight, and I was able to get the tickets comp. We were able to get great seats, reserved seatings for the whole show as myself, Ron, Fez, I think Ron's son, and maybe daughter, Gail, ended up coming. And it was a blast. It was such a blast. I remember it was so late, I didn't even bother going home. I ended up going to the radio station. And actually, Fez did the same thing. Fez, I don't even think, went home to take a nap. Fez went into the radio station, and we just got ready for a great damn just day of broadcasting because we were so excited about seeing the Star Wars movies make a comeback. So it was a great, great time, and I have so many fond memories of Ron and Fez. But Fez... Like, I don't want anybody to think, like, I learned so much about the on-air proportion of things. I mean, Fez was great when it came to being on air as well, too. But when it came to the behind-the-scenes stuff, the stuff that you need to do to be a great producer or editor, whatever it may be behind the scenes, I learned every bit of that from Fez. Fez told me, he was like, look, you can be on the air. Not all on-air radio personalities know how to run the board. Not all on-air personalities know how to cut commercial spots or do production, create promos. And he was right. And he put me like five steps ahead of every single person around my age frame that was trying to break into the business. So I am so sad. I feel regret that I almost did not try hard enough to get into contact with Fez when he was down here in Florida after he retired from radio. I wish I could have saw my pal, and I'm gonna miss Fez, and he did a lot for me, and you know, this one hits pretty hard. I'm not saying it hits harder than losing my dad, but to hear that Fez passed away is such a big kick in the nuts, man. And I hope all of his family as well, if his family needs anything at all, I hope they don't hesitate to ask, because I would do anything for Fez and his family. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll get into some topics right after the break. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir.
If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in Volusia, Brevard, or Flagler counties, you need to reach out to Ian Hanna at ianhannahomes.com. On his site, you can learn more about Ian's use of premium photography and aggressive marketing to sell your home quickly and painlessly. So if you're a first-time buyer and not sure where to start, connect with Ian at ianhannahomes.com.
Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com. It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Make sure you check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. While you're there, hit that subscribe button and also hit that bell button. Because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or put up any brand new content. Now, one of the first stories I wanted to get into, and I complain about this all the time, that people that buy lottery scratch-off tickets are white trash. Like, seriously, I mean, all the money, all the stimulus package stuff, you would not believe at the Sunoco that I go to, right after everybody got their stimulus checks, man, you could not get a lottery ticket to save your goddamn life. And if you went up there just to get something nice, or not nice, but like gas or chips or anything like that, you were waiting in line for like 20 minutes because people were like, oh, they got to find out, all right, has this roll, how many winners have you got on this roll? How new is this roll? How old is this roll? Because a lot of people think that it does make a difference. But this next story I'm about to play, this woman ended up winning $2 million on a scratcher. Like, I've never, ever heard of anybody winning over $1 million on a scratcher, but she did.
This is the Valley Springs store where this mother bought this winning lottery ticket, and you can still see on the front door here, they are celebrating that winning ticket. It reads, Valley Springs Mini Market, instant prize crossword, $2 million.
And what's funny, they actually have made these lottery games, these scratchers, even more confusing. I think they're doing it on purpose because think of this. The more confusing you make it, a lot of these people, they're so dumb that they might not even know that they've won something. So the lottery tries to make it harder, just like when you go to vote. Like, they will word the vote like yes means no, no means yes type deal. So some of these, like Monopoly, crossword, how does most of the people that buy scratchers can't even read, man? But these stores, I love how they'll put up a thing saying, oh, our biggest winner here is 5,000. Biggest winner, I think the most I've ever seen is a big winner of six figures, like 100,000 one time. I think it was at the Edgewater Shell station. And somebody, I think, won $100,000 off of one of the scratchers. Now, what is the prize limit? Like, if you win $100, I think the store will pay you out. But I think anything over $100, I don't know if the store can particularly pay you out there. I think maybe you have to send the ticket somewhere. Or, like, I know, like, if you win the lottery, you go to Tallahassee. I would like to hear from any of my supporters. What is the biggest cash prize that you've ever won on the lottery? You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044.
What an incredible moment in life. This mother packed up everything. Her husband, her children moved to Oklahoma. Since then, everything went tragically wrong. A lottery millionaire murder-suicide. Photos show 31-year-old Tiffany Hill surrounded by family and her precious children. Police say she was shot and killed in a murder-suicide by her husband, John Donato.
All right, so I don't want anybody to think that I am making excuses or defending this guy at all, but I'm sure that this was already a troubled relationship. Now, and I don't even know, like, what the laws are in Oklahoma, but I'm sure, like, if they were going to get divorced or there was already problems at home, and this guy, as soon as he found out that this bitch had won the lottery, he's like, uh-oh, she's leaving me, she's taking the kids, and she's taking everything. Now, would the guy be entitled to have if she ended up buying the lottery ticket and won $2 million off of this ticket. But no, this guy freaked out so badly. You know what he did? He killed his wife and one of his kids, and then I think killed himself. I don't know. I need to go back and listen to that story. It sounded like he killed one of the kids as well, too.
Shown here, who also killed their one-year-old daughter.
See, I don't think all the kids were his. I think maybe, you know what, though? This could have been like a illegitimate kid, one that wasn't his, or was it his, and the other surviving kids weren't his. I don't know. See, it's kind of hard. Like, you can never assume anything when it comes to relationships, when it comes to white trash mother effers that buy $2 million lottery tickets. See, I mean, that's the first thing you do. When you win the lottery, especially if you're having problems with your old man, you do not tell a single soul. Number two, you sign the back of the ticket because they always say that. Like, if you look, there is a place on the back of a lottery ticket whenever you buy, like, one of the lottos for the numbers and stuff. Yeah, there is a place for you to be able to sign the back of it.
The deadly encounter unfolding inside this Oklahoma home where the whole family had just moved from Calaveras County after the lottery win. The Hill family attorney says Hill had described being in an abusive relationship and she wanted out.
See, this dude, he must have found out that he wasn't entitled to anything. Like, they had moved after that. Do you think they bought the fanciest of double wide trailers? Ooh, baby, $2 million. We ain't got to work for the rest of our lives. No, I guarantee you they would have really actually blown through all that money. Like, they wouldn't have invested it. They wouldn't have, like, worked. Like, if you win $2 million, depending on what age you are at, I mean, you could put that money in the bank and probably live off the interest, a little bit of the interest. I know that the interest is really, really low when it comes to banking now, but yeah, I would still work. I would definitely still work. But like I said, white trash, they probably blew a lot of money. There was an argument. The guy was like, baby, you can't be spending all this money. And she was like, it's my lottery ticket. I'll do whatever I want to with it. And then he just got pissed, or he found out that his old lady was going to leave him. And he was like, well, I'm going to kill myself. Well, I'm going to kill her first, kill the baby, then kill myself. I don't understand how that plan really, really works out. But I guess he was just one of those guys that was like, if I ain't getting it, you ain't getting it either, bitch.
Tiffany never reached out to me about anything of that nature, but I did speak with her mom, and her mom wants the message that Tiffany was trying to get away from it.
Her attorney also questioned the role the millions played in the deadly attack.
Could that have sparked that argument? And
yes. God damn. Are there really that big of idiots in Oklahoma? I mean, no offense. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush. But of course it had something to do with the money. Money is, like they said, money is the root of all evil. And I'm telling you right now, like, she was threatening to take all the kids, take the money, and leave his ass. And he found out that he wasn't getting any of it, which I think if they were married, I think he definitely, definitely deserves part of that money. But guess what? 9 times out of 10, guys get screwed over. And I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not defending this guy, but I could see as a man, like, if, and I'm sure that this bitch probably bought the lottery ticket with his money, his own money. And since she bought it, she's the technical owner of it, and she was probably going to get it all. So I can understand where, and I'm not saying it's right, but I can kind of see where a guy would snap if I, with my own money, you went and bought a lottery ticket, and then you planned on leaving me. Yep, triple suicide homicide, whatever it's called. That they said something like that at the beginning of the report.
We'll never have any way of knowing, but I do know there were times that caused conflict between them.
Hill's sister describes her as a dreamer whose passion was her children and animals. That family is now working to get the three surviving children back to California. Lottery money will be put in a trust for them.
See, I want to hear a follow-up story because there's going to be three kids. Now, that $2 million, when you put $2 million in a trust, is that like gaining interest or whatever? Because I would like to see how that all ends up turning out, because, you know, one of them is going to turn 18 before the other. Now, is that person going to eat through all the money? I'm sure that these three siblings, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw another death come from this, because the three of those kids now have all got to wait until they're probably 18 until they can touch any of that money. And then you got to split it with your three brothers. What if they all just start mysteriously dying from accidents and stuff, and then it's the last sibling standing that gets all the money? See, I swear to God, I just wrote a Hollywood movie. Just wrote a Hollywood movie. If anybody has contacts with any movie producers out in California, hell, even Atlanta, hit me up. I think this is an award-winning movie.
The family is seeking help for funeral arrangements.
Oh, there's no way. No way I'm helping out this family with any funeral arrangement when you're sitting on a $2 million lottery ticket. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Take a little bit of that $2 million. I'm sure it's probably already almost whittled down to $1 million. But there is no way that this family deserves any money to pay for a fucking funeral when they got a $2 million lottery ticket.
A tragic end for a millionaire mother who had just hit the jackpot, never able to fulfill the dreams of her new financial reality.
By the way, I don't know what TV news station this was from, but I got to tell you, the reporters out in Oklahoma, do they not iron their shirts? Do they not wear suits? Do they buy their collared T-shirts from like Walmart or Target or something? But my God, this guy, he looks like any bum that would like try to bum change off of you before you walk into a liquor store. I mean, come on, guys, do a little bit better. Before I go to break, I wanted to play an updated version of the news story that I talked about last week about the father and the spear gun. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is because at the time when I played the news story, a lot of details were not being given out. And I don't want people to think like I'm harping on this story or I don't have any other content to talk about, because I do. I really do. Like, I want to talk about the Afghanistan thing and the Afghanis that were holding on to the airplane trying to get out. Yeah, that's a tragic, horrible story. But I wanted to give you an update because in this news story, some of the details are even more gruesome than what I talked about last week when I covered this story.
Two small children stabbed in the heart with a spearfishing gun. Their own father allegedly leaving their bodies in a ditch in Mexico.
So remember last week when I talked about how he was trying to cross the border? He wasn't trying to cross either into Mexico or Canada because, like I said, we did not have any of these details. He actually committed these murders in Mexico and was trying to get back into the United States of America. Now, like, if you were going to do a gruesome crime like this, I mean, wouldn't you do it in Mexico? Because then you could always just blame it on the cartels. You could be like, oh, the cartels, they took my kids, my reptilian kids. Yeah, you could easily have played that off. So I kind of see where the guy was going, why he went to Mexico for this. I don't understand it, though. I mean, this whole thing, I know exactly, like I said, I think that this guy is doing this just to go for the insanity plea where he doesn't have to face death, but I don't even care. Like, even if this guy is crazy, we don't need these type of people on the face of the planet Earth.
Mexican authorities describing difficult details.
Under the bushes, they found the lifeless bodies of two children. One female, one male.
Authorities say 40-year-old surf instructor Matthew Taylor Coleman from Santa Barbara, California, confessed to murdering his 2-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter this week in Mexico.
See, everybody thinks that, like, surfers are, like, these laid-back, like, for the most part, you would think surfers would be just too high, just high on life, just like, hey, dude, no, man. Nah, I'm gonna go catch some waves, man. I'm not gonna, like, kill my kids with this spear gun. No, man, I'm gonna go out and catch some amberjacks or some pompano, and I'm gonna feed the family over an open fire. No, it's more of the version of Point Break surfers that are out robbing banks with presidential masks on their face.
Telling the FBI he was driven to the killings after being enlightened by QAnon and Illuminati conspiracy theories. Police and federal agents were called in after the children were reported missing by their mother. Authorities tracking Coleman's cell phone to Mexico.
Also, why do you bring your phone with you when you're doing a double homicide? I'm not trying to tell people how to get away with murder, but I mean, if you're going to do it with technology and all this stuff, you know they got your face going into Mexico unless you cross the border illegally. And now you left your phone on? That's how they found you? You deserve to be caught. You deserve to be caught because, you know what? Matter of fact, this might be another case of him going for the insanity plea. Like, oh, I thought I was doing such a great job killing my reptilian children. I'm going to turn my phone off. That's how crazy that this guy is. He did not think any of this through at all.
Surveillance video images released by authorities show Coleman checking into a hotel with his children August 7th. Just before 3 a.m. on August 9th, he packs them up and leaves the hotel, returning hours later alone. He was stopped by border officials while returning to the United States. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers finding what appeared to be blood on the vehicle's registration paperwork, but no children.
So what do you do? Like, I know that he's an American, he killed Americans, but like, I think he's going to have a worse time in a Mexican prison. And I say, like, we just let the federales, we let the Mexicans just keep him, let them figure out what they want to do with him. And then, you know, like, I would rather be executed. Because you know that this guy is definitely going for the insanity plea. I would rather be killed than go to jail in a Mexican prison as a white man. Could you imagine that? Matter of fact, before I threw him into the jail, I would have a big, big chest tattoo front and back. I would have MAGA, and then I would have MAGA on the back. Like, you would make him look like he is the biggest Trump supporter. And then maybe like a Calvin and Hobbes, you know, like a Calvin pissing on the Mexican flag tattoo. Yeah, I would be like, have fun, buddy. Have fun in your Mexican prison cell.
The FBI soon learned from Mexican authorities that the bodies of two children were found overnight, along with the murder weapon, bloody clothes, and a baby's blanket. According to the criminal complaint, Coleman allegedly told authorities he was receiving visions and signs revealing that his wife possessed serpent DNA and had passed it on to his children.
Man, dude, you must have some weak ass sperm if your genetics weren't going to be like the dominant genetics. Like, dude, for real, like, do you really think even if she was a reptilian or she was a serpent? I mean, think about that. How badass would it be, you know, like whenever you go and you visit like other families that have kids and, you know, everybody's bragging about, oh, my kid made honor roll. Oh, my kid hit a home run. Oh, my kid scored a touchdown. You'd be like, hell yeah. Guess what? Look at my house. Do you see any insects here? No. Do you see any rats here? No. Guess why? Because my kids eat them all, swallow them whole. And I want to know if they were serpents, did they come out with venom? Did the kids have venom? And if they did have venom, why didn't they use it to defend themselves against their dad and a spear gun? I think that it would be pretty kick-ass to have two kids that were part reptile. I'm just saying, people, how much would you brag on your kids if they had venom and they could catch rodents and they were quick as a snake? I'd have them out there running track. I would have them being boxers, MMA fighters. Yes, reptilian, part reptilian kids would be the best.
Coleman also allegedly telling the FBI he was saving the world from monsters. He was arrested and charged with the foreign murder of U.S. nationals.
Just a horrific, tragic loss.
Coleman's neighbors back in Santa Barbara, stunned.
Just shocked, frankly. Immensely tragic.
By the way, you're a horrible parent. This guy is doing this interview talking about the details about what happened, even though the kid is young enough that he probably doesn't understand anything that his pops is talking about. But kid, we don't give kids enough credit. kids pick up on things. And you're talking about all the details about how your neighbor murdered his two kids, his daughter and his son. Man, I just think that's irresponsible as a parent.
And having known the two kids and the family, it's just awful.
I bet that guy had never even talked to those people in his life. He, I probably would have done the same. Oh, there's a news camera out there. Oh, there the neighbor? What was his name? Look it up real quick before I go out there so I don't look like an idiot. Just to be on the news. And I would be wearing like a Tuttle Daily Podcast a t-shirt or a hat or I'd be holding a sign or, you know, I would bring a kid out there. Like, hey, at a certain time, make sure, hey, daddy, don't you have to go back inside and you have to finish the Tuttle Daily Podcast, which can be found on all podcasting platforms as well as YouTube, youtube.com/Tuttle. Yeah. Yeah, that's marketing at its finest. Gonna take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. If you'd like to help me out financially, help out the cause, there's two ways you can do that. paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio, or if you have the Cash app. Yeah, I know. I don't understand why you would put app in the name of your app. It just makes people sound ridiculous when you say Cash app. Just search Tuttle on the Radio, and my bio picture, everything's up there. You'll know exactly who it is. Because I'm trying to build this studio. The studio is going to be where these two white trash bitches, Dakota and Nicole, have been keeping all of, I guess, now come to find out, a lot of the stolen goods or stuff that they picked. And now more and more than ever do I know that it's been stolen goods is because they had a bag full of medication. And I'm not even going to go through or read the names of the people that they are, that they belong to. But I did find a full bottle of promethazine. And I don't know if you know what promethazine is. It's that lean. It's that purple drink that a lot of these hip-hop people drink. The hip-hop artists, you know, they all rap about the purple drink. And this thing is it has not been unsealed. So what I'm trying to say is I know what is in it, but at the same time, it brings me back to, also it's been stored in a hot shed in the middle of summertime, by the way. So I'm sure any of the medications I found in here are no good. That's also another thing, you know, a lot of these drug companies, they give you a discard date, and I got to tell you, I know it was that way in our family. Like, I know you're supposed to take all your antibiotics, but if anybody had any antibiotics left, we would keep them. We would keep them. We wouldn't matter how old they were, but yeah, I really think that's kind of like, hey, you need to get rid of it by this amount of time, because I think it's just a way for the pharmaceutical companies and all that good stuff to be able to try and just make some extra money. But it also reminds me of that scene from Wolf of Wall Street where Jordan Belfort and them, they got the Quaaludes. I guess Quaaludes are not even made anymore in this country. And if any of my audience, I love getting interaction with you guys. If any of y'all, because I've done pretty much every drug you could think of, but I've never done Quaaludes. And I, from what I hear, they're supposed to be kind of like Xanax or something like modern day Xanax. But if any of you guys had ever done Quaaludes, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what it made you feel like, What could you compare it to? Email me, Tuttle@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. But I got to tell you, if I was not living the sober life that I am now, I got to tell you, I most likely would probably try to drink some of that promethazine with the codeine in it just to see how it is. Because you hear people talk about that purple drink and stuff. And then, it made me think of Jordan Belfort with the Quaaludes. Remember, they got the Quaaludes, but they were like really, really old. And they ended up taking like one. Didn't do anything. Then they took two, still didn't feel anything. And then they're like, oh, fuck it, let's take three more. So I think they were on number six. And then I guess, you know, I don't even know this if this was a true story. You know, if you want a good follow, follow Jordan Belfort on TikTok. I mean, he goes through some of the scenes, tells you what's real and what was Hollywood in the movie Wolf of Wall Street. And he did say that the things did have a time release and that they really did get fucked up because, you know, after you took the first one, they didn't hit you for a couple hours later. And then you like quadruple stacked on top of that. So, yeah, I'm sure that was a really, really good time. But like, yeah, dude, you wouldn't believe all the antibiotics. You wouldn't believe all the pain medication. All the, like I said, the promethazine, and it's all got other people's names on it. Now, if I call the sheriff's office again, how are they going to explain? Oh, well, maybe somebody, you know, loaned it to him. No. There's no transferring of prescriptions when it comes to that type of stuff. So what am I supposed to do now? Do I call law enforcement again? Because the last time I had them come out, when I found the credit cards that weren't in their name, they wouldn't do anything about that. And like I said, I just wanted my name to be on record that, hey, I wanted to let you know a lot of this stuff, most of the stuff in the shed is not even mine. Because right before they even moved in here, I cleaned out that whole shed and was already planning on building a studio. But then my mom got suckered in and let these two white trash bitches, Dakota and Nicole, fucking put their stuff in there. And now, come to find out, I've been probably just storing a nothing but a bunch of stolen-ass shit that they've taken advantage of people just like me and my mother. So yeah, I got you, girls. I hope that you guys come back and get your stuff, because I would love to talk to you. Would love to ask you all types of questions and find out how long you guys have been doing this. Matter of fact, if you guys gave me a one-on-one interview and kind of fessed up to it, I'm not going to press any charges. If you're just open and honest of what you did for me, I'm willing to let it drop. I really, really am willing to just let it go. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. What's going on in Afghanistan? I don't know how a lot of people should feel about this. I mean, we have been in there. One of our longest war, 20 years in Afghanistan, and how much money we wasted, how much money. It was over $2 trillion that we spent on the war on terror. And the reason I say it like that, because the first reason why we went to Afghanistan for terror was because of 9/11. You know, that's also another thing people forget about. 9/11, 20 goddamn years this September. Next month, it is going to be 20 years since September 11th. Like, seriously, does anybody really, like, realize how quickly that time has flown by? We all have those little markers, historical markers, that happen in our lives that we think, all right, was that before 9/11 or was that after 9/11? Like, I've lived more of my life. No, not yet. I will soon. Probably next year, I would have lived more of my life after 9/11 than what I did before 9/11, if that makes sense of what I'm saying. But the reason I bring that up is because the stuff in Afghanistan, and I know if I was a troop that put my life on the line to go out there and fight and fight. You know, at some point we did have to get out of there. But is this one of our biggest losses? Is this like our generation's Vietnam? Like, we went in there. We didn't lose as much lives as we did in Vietnam. I don't think we did. I could be wrong. But then for us to just pull out, you know, you would think as Americans, we'd never pull out. Like, we nut right in. We should have just nutted right in the country and just basically, you know, came all over it and just stayed there. Because, you know what, 20 years later, we pull out, and now it only took the Taliban 1 week. So basically what we did was we trained a bunch of people over there in Afghanistan, now which are probably going to have to become Taliban members, because if they don't, they're going to be killed. And one of the saddest things that I've seen is this is how desperate it is, people. The last flight coming out of Afghanistan, people were trying to hang on to the plane as it was taking off, a la, I forget what Mission Impossible it is, but the one where Tom Cruise is hanging off the side of the cargo plane, and he's like, Benji, you know, the Simon Pegg character, they were like, open the door, get the door open, get the door open. There is a photo, and I'm not laughing because it's sad. This just shows you how desperate and how horrible the Taliban is, that people were willing to risk it all holding on to the side of an airplane. Matter of fact, I mean, that's how desperate you are. Are you supposed to, like, hold on the whole entire time? I'm sure it was not a direct flight to the United States, but I'm sure that you would not be able to hold on for that long. Your hands would become too cramped. You'd be too cold. Like, do you think, like, they would even, as soon as you got out of the Afghanistan airspace? You know, this all reminds me of the movie Argo, which was on this weekend. My mom had never seen Argo. I had watched it with my dad, but the Argo film was about them getting the American citizens out of Iran after the embassy was raided. And that was a really, really interesting story. But there's a picture of the people that were hanging on to the side of the plane falling to their deaths from, like, thousands and thousands of feet. And it just is a big cherry on a shit sundae that has happened. And I'm not blaming this on either side. I mean, Trump was already wanting to pull troops out. Biden just put the final nail in the coffin, and they were just able to take it back in less than a week. You know, my producer Vulture, he was in the Marines, fought in Afghanistan. One of his interpreters, one of his really, really good friends, he was able to get that person and get them over here to the United States because he saw how badly things were going to happen. And it does mean death to any of the people, their families, their kids, loved ones. If you helped out the American soldiers while they were in Afghanistan, boom, automatic death penalty. Like, you would. You would be dead in a heartbeat. So hopefully I'll be able to talk to him real soon because I already had him on the show once before and we had to disguise his voice. He was kind of a little hard to understand. But now that I think that he's here in the United States, I think we're going to be able to go up and visit him and do a really, really great one-on-one interview with him. Anyways, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you stay safe and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/tuttleontheradio. You have something you want to say? tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.